Let us pray. May I speak in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Leaving our old ways behind. That reminds me days back when I was in college. On our final day in college, our principal, he sent forth words, goes like this: "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." That text was drawn from Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 3 and verse 3. And he will then end by handing our school testimonial to us, one after the other. And he'll go by these words: "Ernest, remember your alma mater." From that text, if you look at the bit that says, "A letter from Christ, the result of our ministry," it shows that the principle actually points to all that we have been taught all through our 5 years of studies, of which the moral aspect of it was based and centered from the teachings of Christ and his ways of life here on earth, in addition to the academic aspect of our life and pursuit while we were in college. But he tends to emphasize more on the importance of our remembering our alma mater. Paul, from the text we read in our first Bible reading, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through verse 5, and chapter 5 and verse 2. In verse 17 of that very Ephesians, he addresses the Christians in Ephesus with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." Of course, the Gentiles in this sense are people who were said to be unbelievers, people who doesn't live according to the teachings and the ways of Christ. From the tone of that very statement Paul made there, it shows that in the past, these Christians in Ephesus, they lived in a certain manner, likened to that of unbelievers. Now, what does that way of life look like? Let's have a look at verse 18, if you have your Bible, of that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, I rephrased it, but you can just follow it up as it is written in that very Bible you are holding. "These people were darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God as a result of being separated from the life of God, they are now without knowledge because of the hardening of their hearts. In verse 19, because of this sort of heart they have got, they now pursue only what will give them physical pleasure, especially sexual gratification, and all manner of impurity with a continual lust for more. In verse 22, Paul again calls to their minds that they were taught to put off their old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 24 continued to say, to be made new in the attitude of their minds. It's important that we know that regeneration, new birth, starts from the inside. And it's meant for a heart soft, not as hard as stone. A heart that is ready to be taught and ready to receive the word of God, which is the only thing that can renew human hearts. And of course, when I was reflecting on this very text, I got to that point when Ezekiel was actually talking about that the Lord will give them the heart of flesh, I mean the people of Israel, and then renewal will start in their life. I was drawn to that, and I understood clearly that it is that sort of heart that will begin a new journey in our relationship with God. Now, once renewed, they will then be ready to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You can see that pointed out in verse 24. Now, this takes me back to our principal's charge during our sent forth in college, on handing our testimonials to us. He will charge us, each student, to go into the world and reflect the good things that we were taught, those standards that makes the school as standing as a mission school. In our second reading, Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14 of that reading, says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And it continues in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This was exactly what our principal meant. Coming back to our text in Ephesians, verse 25 of it down, Paul again mentioned those practical things that the believers need to put off. And in its place, not just putting it off, in its place, that vacuum, they should put on a new self. I love that metaphor, putting on and putting off. That new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In verse 25, they should put off falsehood. That is, in that place, they will speak truthfully to each other. We should remember that it's been emphasized since we started this series on Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. We are as a body, we are as a family of God. So we are called, in this sense, Paul was telling the Christians in Ephesus to be truthful to one another. In verse 26 says, do not sin in your anger. I find it a bit difficult to understand this. we are prone to be angry. And I wonder how, in course of being angry, we will not sin. I mean, it does take us to a lot of pain. But what I think here is, as human, God understands that certain things will draw us to be angry. But we are not supposed to dwell in that it will lead us to something greater than that. And he says in that very text, you shouldn't let that go down with the sun. You should find a space to deal with it and carry on with your life. So, is it possible that we should put away anger and yet to devise that means in which human can completely get rid of anger? Then he goes on in verse 28 to say, do not steal, do not rob one another, do not rob the government of the day, do not be involved in any manner of trying to be smart on each other or people who are vulnerable. Rather, we should do honest work. And in course of doing honest work, we will be able to be givers, not to be sponging it on others or on the community. Then he goes on in verse 28 to say, do not use your mouth for evil. That is dishonest, unkind, vulgar speech. Rather, encourage, share, and comfort others. As the family of God, instead of using our mouth to bring people down, instead of using our mouth, that was what he was telling the Christians in Ephesus, written in the scripture, that they should, that grace should flow through their speech. Their speech should be such that we be uplifting to the hearer, that we bring Mary. If you are correcting somebody, you should correct him with love. That will impact positively in the life of the person. And in fact, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This one is a pretty difficult to understand. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? But to summarize it, all those things that we know that doesn't go well before God, our misconduct, those things that God will detest, when we are involved in doing those, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. And I love the way Peter kicked off with our study in this very book of Ephesians. He says that the Holy Spirit is a seal, is a guarantee. Guarantee of what? That which we are already in Christ, the redemption that Jesus has won for us, is a seal that we are the children of God. I wonder when you are grieving him, you are deflecting your position. You are kind of breaking down that guarantee that assures that by the end of our journey, already through salvation, you are a child of God. But this is an unworthy thing. By the end of the time, when the fullness of Christ will be revealed, that seal will mark you. And by grieving the Holy Spirit, you are deflecting that seal in your life. So, it's important that we look unto that and allow the flow of the Holy Spirit and the relationship we have with God to continue to be, so that seal will be permanent until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, get rid of all bitterness, bad temper, slander, and every form of malice. At times, ill will might lead us to plotting evil against one another. That was what he was telling the Christians in Ephesus. They were Christians. They have been redeemed, but they are new creature. But there are attributes, there are kind of life that they need to start living, that need to be seen in their life, the life that is meant for a child of God, a Christ-like life. And that's the word Christian, Christ-like. Having been redeemed is one thing. You are a new creature if you are in Christ Jesus. But there is still need to begin to dwell in that characteristics that makes you a child of God. That when somebody see in them, of course they will say, these ones reflect the life of that cornerstone, the beacon of the church, which they are following, which is Christ. Now, in verse 32, he now says, be kind. In other words, be generous, be helpful, and compassionate. You should be concerned for others. They are called to be concerned about what touches others. Sympathy should be their case. They shouldn't be self-centered. And now he comes to saying, showing forgiveness, remembering that in Christ God forgave us. Now it boils back from the beginning. We were once far off. They were Gentiles. They were living in a certain manner. But through that single act that exhibited, that shows the love of God, they are now redeemed. They are now saved. They are now made heirs of the kingdom of God. And they are equally expected to reflect that love of God that Jesus has shown for them. We were once sinners, and still Christ died for us, as well died for them. Then through chapter 5 and down to verses 1 and 2, he now summarizes the whole instruction thus far given to the Christians in Ephesus. He now says, as believers, they should be imitators of God. As Christians, they should be Christ-like, I have pointed out that out before. Now says, God is love, and he expressed his nature in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave his life as a sacrifice for us. Just as the charge given by our principal was not meant for our sake only, but for everyone who passed through our college. And it will interest you to know that our college name is associated with Jesus ascending into heaven. It's being called still, because I know the school is still in existence, Ascension Junior Seminary. It says, I know that all of them, everyone that passes through that school, will get that same charge and will be called to reflect that kind of life. Whenever we have a kind of link, Facebook link, old boys of my school, and we do make the chat and joke, remember your alma mater by Venerable, what's that his name? Our principal, then I've forgotten his name. He said, remember your alma mater by Venerable, and we will all laugh. Ernest, remember your alma mater. But it meant a lot. It reminds us that we've been given a charge. It reminds us that we are meant to reflect. We have been given much, and we need to reflect that in our doing wherever we go, so that the people coming behind us, we see something that will attract them to the school and see those good benefits that we have inherited and will desire to be part of that training institution. So, I don't think that Paul is talking only to the Christians in Ephesus. Paul, in this letter, bears us equally in mind. Everything that is mentioned here is equally for us here in St. John's. It's for the Church of God all over the world. And this is what is expected of us, that people will see in us and know, of course, that we are Christ-like. Christ is the beacon of the church. He is the pillar in which each and every one of us, each individual stone is built up upon. In loving and reflecting and living like Christ, we will now come to that point where we will be like salt. People will now see us as a thing that seasons, good enough for our kitchen, giving taste to what is on our table. People will see in us, in place of darkness, we will be that light of God that will reflect God's glory. And we start radiating from among us. And as a church family, as a family of God, we will have something when we go out that will impact to our society and the environment where we find ourselves. We will be through our lives and doing. Reflect the life of Christ. That is the gospel. That is our calling. Let us pray. Lord, cause your word to bear fruit in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.